I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here for 2 hours a day at 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space for the independent thinker out there, what I believe is bringing some levels of common sense and logic to things. Plenty of those things to get to today. I've got a ton of blue lines on my notes, which means links. There was a lot of absurdity spouted across the mainstream media this weekend, for sure. So tons of clips to get to today. We'll take a look at those. I'll start off real quick with my quotes of the day, and then I want to get to one story before we really dive into today's show, because today are the closing arguments in Ghislaine Maxwell's trial. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Real quick, though, quotes of the day today. The great Ron Paul. We had a shot at him. We had a shot at having this man be our president. He said, quote, "I don't want to run your life. I don't know how to run your life. I don't have the authority to run your life, and the Constitution doesn't permit me to run your life." That is why, in a nutshell, I'm a Ron Paul fan. That and his anti-interventionalist world policeman endless wars positions. But somebody who actually would butt out of our lives would have been pretty nice. Pretty nice. Richard Mayberry said this as we're all facing inflation. Just then on the news break, the local news break, if you're listening on the podcast, which you can find at The Mike Madison Show, pretty much in most podcast formats, Apple Podcasts, or you can get it on themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. But the local newscast was just saying they've had an uptick in grocery store robberies, and I would imagine this trend will continue as long as food prices continue to skyrocket. Richard Mayberry says, "Most Americans were not adults during the Fed's last serious inflation in the 1970s and 80s, and they don't understand, and they understand none of what is being done to them or who is to blame." Most important part there, they understand none of what is being done to them or who is to blame. I say that passive-aggressively at those of you out there who believe that Joe Biden is behind all of the inflation. He's going to make it worse, but he is not to be blamed. And then to get us into the meat of the show, I'll go ahead and give this quote. I guess I should probably have held it until next segment, but this is from a former FDA commissioner, Herbert Ley, L-E-Y. A former FDA commissioner said, "The thing that bugs me the most is that people think the FDA is protecting them. It isn't. What the FDA is doing and what the public thinks it's doing are as different as day and night." "The thing that bugs me the most is that people think the FDA is protecting them. It isn't. What the FDA is doing and what the public thinks it is doing are as different as day and night." That is from a former FDA commissioner, Herbert Ley. He's exactly right. I've explained to you the FDA and the CDC are vaccine and pharmaceutical sales organizations. They're not there to protect you. Oh, that's so cute. Yeah, so today are the closing arguments in Ghislaine Maxwell's trial. Does anybody else find it a little coincidental, a little convenient, that whatever the verdict comes out of this thing, should it not be one that is satisfactory to the vast majority of Americans, that it is released on the week of Christmas? The week of the heaviest distractions of the year, and we may get there's a lot of talk out there that the prosecution has fumbled. A lot of reports of Maxwell, I'm air quoting that, Maxwell has been basically high-fiving her attorneys after most days of the trial because they think they're doing so well. Now, I am assuming at this point that there is an actual trial going on. I don't think they could pull off no trial right now. I've been very suspicious of the Ghislaine Maxwell thing because we have not had up to and including now a single picture of Ghislaine Maxwell post-arrest. The best we've gotten are cartoon artist drawings, and the most recent ones make her look like a skinny Oprah. So we've seen no pictures of her. But I do believe there must be a trial going on. I would imagine the victims or somebody would be coming out and going, you know, there's no trial going on. There's some pretty outspoken people doing that. But here's my question now. If there is a trial going on, and I'm going to assume that there is, is the woman in the defendant's chair right now actually Ghislaine Maxwell? It was reported last week that she has decided not to testify, so she will not be opening her mouth within the courtroom. We've seen no pictures of this particular person. And the fact she's not testifying, there's really nothing weird about that. A lot of people, particularly if you think you're ahead in the trial, you don't testify. Prosecution supposedly fumbling the case, as they say. But I also assume that this woman, the woman that looks like skinny Oprah in all the cartoon drawings that we get of her, I would imagine she is also fully masked all day, every day. So I'm just saying, is it possible that they've got somebody in there? They've got skinny Oprah that is actually not Ghislaine Maxwell. Total conspiracy theory, nothing to back that up. It's just I smell a rat when we can't get a single picture from this woman. But I want you to think about something as we wrap up the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell. This child sex trafficking ring involving young underage girls was first discovered in 1996. After that, Epstein, I believe, faced trial somewhere around 2005, and that's when he was given just a slap on the wrist, his 13 months of work release, where he was given a swanky cell and allowed to leave all day. And I think he just reported from 10 o'clock at night until the morning, and maybe even weekends he did at home. It was a complete slap on the wrist. And that was delivered by Alexander Acosta, who Trump, for some reason, made his labor secretary when he announced his cabinet. And now, so we go from 1996 to the 2005, then we have the trial of Jeffrey Epstein, where he dies mysteriously subsequent to that, and now to the Ghislaine trial. We've got 25 years of investigation into this child sex trafficking ring, and yet, here are all of the players that we really know about. We've got Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Les Wexner has been talked about. He is the Ohio billionaire who gifted a $75 million townhome in New York to Jeffrey Epstein that apparently was wired with sound and surveillance stuff for all the bedrooms and bathrooms in the place. Les Wexner, to my knowledge, has never been questioned about this. He was the CEO of Limited Brands. But we kind of know his name. Matter of fact, many of you are probably hearing it for the first time, but his name has been mentioned along the way. We know Bill Clinton was reported on his plane. No questioning of Bill Clinton on anything, to our knowledge. We know Prince Andrew. Prince Andrew was implicated by an accuser. No charges have been filed on him. Bill Gates. We know Bill Gates flew on the Lolita Express. No questioning of him. Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz is in the crew of people that was hanging with Epstein, pun intended. And we know that Epstein palled around with Trump at some point. So there have been investigations now for 25 years into this child sex trafficking ring, culminating. I mean, this is the last pin in the chain. Is Ghislaine Maxwell, as far as we know. Nobody else is under any active investigation. 26 years or 25 years of investigations, and we have heard nothing, not one single name of anybody implicated in actually abusing these children outside of really Prince Andrew. The New York townhouse was wired for video and audio in all of the bedrooms, all of the bathrooms. The FBI finally got down to Pedo Island. It took the FBI, our crack investigative unit out of Washington, D.C. in the Justice Department. It took the FBI 6 weeks to get down to Pito Island. Took them even longer to get to the New Mexico ranch. And none of this was enough evidence against any of the men preying on these little girls. 25 years of investigation, we do not have one single John on trial, investigated, arrested, even questioned, as near as we can tell. This is interesting, to say the very least. There was a headline that said if Ghislaine Maxwell is found guilty, she may start naming names. It's very interesting to me that a prosecution wouldn't start off with that. Let's start getting to the actual people who were abusing these young underage girls. 25 years of investigation. Let me just tell you, and I don't encourage anybody to experiment with this, but if any of us were to have inappropriate relationships with anybody under the age of 17, you can rest assured you'll be in a cell within weeks, and you'll be there for most of your life. Yet these people in this ring was known to be international in scale, and it ran for decades, and yet we still do not have a single person, not one single John, nobody investigated, questioned, indicted, or arrested, or jailed. Not one. We'll see what happens with Ghislaine Maxwell. As I said, I find it very convenient. Very convenient that this is all going to take place on Christmas week when people are maximally distracted. Also, the jury is currently deliberating the Elizabeth Holmes verdict. She is the Theranos CEO. I don't know if you followed this story. It certainly isn't, you know, as a somebody who's interested in markets and financial stuff, I've been fascinated by this, this whole ordeal. This Elizabeth Holmes basically touting her great technology of blood testing with just one drop of blood, upsetting the apple cart of the entire blood testing, is just going to revolutionize medicine in the United States and how people could be diagnosed with diseases. It never was viable. It never happened. Yet she got CVS and Walgreens, Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, Betsy DeVos, the DeVos family invested their money, hundreds of millions of dollars. Company getting billions of dollars in valuation for a product that never even existed. I mean, it was the con of all cons. The woman is obviously quite a weirdo, but it's a pretty fascinating. I've been listening to a podcast about the whole ordeal of what transpired during Theranos' time and then what's been happening during the trial as well. It's pretty amazing that you could get away with that kind of con and that kind of scale and involve some of the supposedly best and brightest among us, those most successful people, the billionaire, the donor class, were fooled. But then you look at COVID and you realize, oh, okay, it's probably very easy to fool, to trick the people that are running the show, particularly in the medical world, not exactly the swiftest people we have out there. They're either wildly dishonest or just stupid, one of the two. We're learning that with COVID, but Elizabeth Holmes was able to pull that off. She I'm not sure if she is pleading insanity to this thing, but I'll be interested to hear what her fate is too. She was the shining star a decade ago, all over CNBC and all the financial channels being heralded, Bill Clinton praising that the next generation was in good hands if people like Elizabeth Holmes were part of it. Well, I got to tell you, that narrative has certainly changed. So we got two big verdicts that may come out this week. We'll see what happens with Ghislaine Maxwell. Maybe if she's convicted. Don't they take another mugshot when somebody is actually convicted of something and begin doing their time? All right, we'll wait and see. Maybe there'll be a picture of her after all. I'll be right back.
You know the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side.
All right, about time to get into the meat of the show. The media this weekend was just brutal. It's really, it's pretty interesting to watch. I've been making the point that Idiocracy is a documentary. It is foretold the fate of the United States when you watch the movie Idiocracy, but it was about 500 years in the future. We're on the cusp of it right now, and what's going on right now is actually dumber. It's dumber than it was 18 months ago with the hysteria, particularly around the Omicron. And it's pretty amazing. This is just kind of a sample of what I saw when I watched some of the mainstream media this weekend. I couldn't watch a lot of it. There's clips I really want for today. I couldn't go back and find. I couldn't dip in it. But just to set the tone, here's what we were treated to all over the weekend.
Medical experts are sounding the alarm once again as the Omicron variant and the Delta variant are hitting San Diego after the Thanksgiving holiday.
A surge upon a surge upon a surge. Oh. We can absolutely expect this to get worse.
Surge on a surge on a surge. We are all going to die.
Exponential means every couple of days, everything's doubling. And so in just a few weeks, we're seeing a takeoff of cases.
Doctors from Sharp, Reese, Steele, and UCSD are warning those who are not vaccinated to get protected as fast as possible. And for those with two shots, to get boosted if it's time.
Three is now the new two.
Experts from UCSD.
There it is. You hear that? Three is the new two. This is why they've been sabotaging math for so long in our schools. They're setting you up for this where, you know, being fully vaccinated means two. We mean three. I mean four. But five is really the new two. And then when you hit that with that sixth one, that's really the new one. And then you're going to start over at zero. Of course, zero is the number amount of protection that you have against these things all along the way. Three is the new two.
UCSD say the Omicron variant is most likely making up 20% of new infections and will likely become the primary virus in just a matter of weeks.
This virus is this contagious. It's just everyone's going to likely experience it. And the volume that we would see of our unvaccinated folks would overwhelm our hospitals again.
Now, I want you to pay attention to all of every person that comes across talking about how vulnerable the unvaccinated are to this strain, to COVID in general. Just remember that, because we're going to take a look at the actual numbers in just a second.
And if you're unvaccinated, you can't expect that you will be significantly protected from this new variant if you've had an infection with COVID in the past.
San Diego County health officials have announced just a handful of confirmed Omicron cases, but doctors from Sharp and UCSD say the community spread is happening as we speak.
Okay, so there you go. That's kind of the tone. That was about San Diego. I just ran across an easy access to that clip, but that was basically across the media landscape. What is this guy's name? Osterholm. He was one of the original COVID hysterics. He's still out there on some of the media sources are paying him big dollars to be one of these consultants. He worms his way into media everywhere. He took it a step further.
I will say without any reservation whatsoever that the next few weeks will be, for me, an unprecedented event in my 46-year career in public health. Over the next several weeks, I feel certain that we will see major changes in the occurrence of COVID-19 in our communities, what it means to us clinically, and public health policies that will come from that. I think we are going to see a viral blizzard literally ascend upon the world with Omicron.
And there you go, a viral blizzard. He misuses the term literally, which drives me nuts. His credibility is destroyed on that alone. But so the viral blizzard, we've got that. We've heard viral tsunami. We've also got that. So that's mainstream media right there. More on that in a second. But it's interesting because in South Africa, here are the stats actually from South Africa. South African Health Minister Joe Pahala said today that only 1.7% of COVID cases in the current Omicron wave are being hospitalized compared to 19% in previous wave. And that the vast majority of cases are, quote, fairly mild, unquote. 1.7% of all their COVID cases there are being hospitalized compared to 19% before. That's interesting. The South African health minister, she came out. They're the ones that blew the whistle on this. And the interesting thing is, too, in South Africa, I believe it was Denmark, had already isolated this variant before South Africa did, yet it is still being told to us that South Africa is the originator of this. Here is the South African health minister telling her citizens what the deal is with this latest variant.
You know, after 4 weeks, this is now our fourth week, there's no reason why you can't trust us when we say to you it's mild disease. We're not saying that there will be sick patients. That's not what we're saying. We say the majority is mild. There's no need to hospitalize any of these mild cases. There's no need. And these patients recover within about 5 days, whether you are a child, whether you are 80 years of age, whether you've been vaccinated, whether you have not been vaccinated, whether you have suffer from mild diseases, other comorbidities. This is what we see. This is the real life. This is the real experience that we are having. And if we have seen that there are really severe diseases and cytokine storms, everyone was afraid that that might happen 2 to 3 weeks later. Well, in primary healthcare, we passed that 3 weeks and we haven't seen it. Again, highly contagious. Yes, you can have 1 million cases. You can have even more than that because it's highly contagious. But the severity of the disease is not Delta. It is mild disease.
So there you go. If you can't understand, it takes, you know, sometimes you got to kind of acclimate to an accent like that. She's saying, look, we've been in this for a while now. We were a little scared that maybe, you know, there are bad outcomes a couple of weeks down the road. Maybe you get a cytokine storm. It's not happening. She said, everybody gets this. It doesn't matter if you're 18 or you're 80. It doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. It's about 5 days of a mild illness. That's it. This is supposedly this epicenter, the origin of this horrific Omicron. And the South African health minister's going, what is everybody losing their mind about? We've been studying this thing longer than anybody else. It's nothing. This thing is absolutely nothing. Of course, that's not stopping the head hysterics here in the United States. We're going to get to their clips when we come back. Then we're going to start looking at some of the statistics of this so-called pandemic of the unvaccinated. Man, this thing is just falling apart in front of our eyes, and only the most obtuse, the most willingly ignorant at this point will continue to accept that narrative. Check out what the stats are when we come back.
Your arms around me, I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding, I need your love.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You know, this stuff is so on its face absurd that it's almost funny. And to somebody like me, I hope this continues to just absolutely destroy the credibility of the medical establishment in this country because they deserve it. It's been coming for a long time as far as I'm concerned. I've been trying to destroy their credibility for 5 years talking about your health. This should be it, except that so many Americans are still listening to these people. I want you to hear them. We just heard the South African health minister say, we've been studying this thing for almost 5 weeks now. It's mild. Doesn't matter what age you are. It's mild. No cytokine storm. It's mild. Here, the hysterics are, of course, doing what hysterics do and trying to get you to fear. I feel like what I should do as some kind of a public service is maybe just set up somewhere in a coffee shop and just allow, you know, invite people hysterical about this disease to come in. I'll stroke your hair. I'll give you some statistics that should make you feel better. It would have been a great service during this month so that you're okay getting together for Christmas. Because there needs to be some level of mental health intervention for people that are still listening to these people. It's got to be exhausting. Here was the head fearmonger here. The brain-addled Joe Biden.
COVID, it seems, has taken another turn for the worse. And for me, it's starting to feel like the new normal, as in it's here to stay.
This is, what's his name, Michael Smirkanish on CNN. I think this guy used to be a conservative, but he'll get to Biden in just a second.
And will remain so for our lifetimes. And while we need to take every possible step to protect ourselves and contain the virus, we also need to prepare ourselves psychologically, so that we can live as normal an existence as possible amidst a pandemic that's becoming endemic. Here's the situation. First, from 30,000 feet. Cases and hospitalizations in this country both up 40% in the last month or so. While scientists think that Omicron is more contagious, most cases so far appear to be mild. But late today, President Biden warned that won't be the case for the unvaccinated in the path of Omicron.
Now, remember, again, please just chalk these down. Make notes. Keep score. Every one of these stories, every one of these hysterics at the top, the fearmongers, the disease fear mongers, every one of them are pointing to the unvaccinated, and we're going to get to the stats in just a second.
Likely explodes at the beginning of the new year.
It's here now, and it's spreading, and it's going to increase. For unvaccinated, we are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for unvaccinated. For themselves, their families, and the hospitals, they'll soon overwhelm. But there's good news. If you're vaccinated, you have your booster shot, you're protected from severe illness and death.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's go ahead and check. Let's just go ahead. I still got a couple of clips here, but let's go ahead and get into this there, Mr. Biden. This was a story that was on the Telegraph yesterday. They tried to put me through a paywall, but I could only get the title and the first sentence of this. But here's how the Telegraph article opens up. The Omicron, and I call it the Omnicon, the Omicron epidemic is being driven by young vaccinated people, according to mounting data from countries as diverse as the United Kingdom, Denmark, and South Africa. Let me read this to you again. This is the Telegraph. In light of the past, I think I've already played maybe six or seven so-called health authorities and the brain-addled Joe Biden, who have all warned you that the vaccinated are the problem. I mean, the unvaccinated are the problem here, right? For you, it's going to be a winter of severe disease and death. This is the opening part of a story from the Telegraph. The Omicron epidemic is being driven by young, vaccinated people, according to mounting data from countries as diverse as the UK, Denmark, and South Africa. Now, again, it may be this whole thing, you know, how the United States has been having completely different outcomes than every other country on planet Earth, even westernized countries with the same genetic heritage we have. That's what they've led us to believe. That's what the Thomas Dobbs of the world want you to believe. Here is Alex Berenson has put together some stuff. This is out of Denmark. Most new COVID cases in Denmark occur in people who are vaccinated or boosted, and that's true for both the Omicron and earlier variants. More than 76% of non-Omicron COVID infections in Denmark are in vaccinated people. Let me read that to you one more time. Excuse me, I misspoke. More than 76% of non-Omicron COVID infections in Denmark are in vaccinated people, along with about 90% of Omicron infections. Let me read this to you again. This is from the data. Joe Biden doesn't care about the data. None of these health authorities care about the data. They care about the fear. They want to scare you. Most new COVID cases in Denmark occur in people who are vaccinated or boosted. And that's true for both Omicron and earlier variants. More than 76% of non-Omicron. I'm going back and forth. I want people to understand. I know what the word is. I just believe it is the all-encompassing universal con job. So I call it the Omicron. More than 76% of non-Omicron COVID infections in Denmark are in vaccinated people, along with about 90% of Omicron infections. 90% of these infections are in the vaccinated in Denmark. We're led to believe that's different here for some reason. Further, only 25%. Here is where they tell you that Joe Biden just tells you, if you're vaccinated, you have nothing to fear. You're not going to be hospitalized or die. Because this is their other argument. Oh, sure, Mike, in the cases, maybe the vaccinated have got more of it because there's more people vaccinated. So maybe they've got it, but they're not going to get the severe disease. It won't be a winter of severe disease and death for the people who got the vaccine because they're protected at least a little bit. It's going to be much more mild for them. Further, of only 25 of the 561 people currently hospitalized in Denmark for COVID have the Omicron variant. The Danes do not provide exact numbers for patients in intensive care with Omicron, saying it is fewer than five. Fewer than five people in Denmark are in the ICU with this new strain that they're trying to tell us is so terrifying. This is the mini Mengele Anthony Fauci. The first part of this video, could I get in trouble for this? The first part of this video that I've got up, this is something that was put out on Twitter from this week with George Stephanopoulos, Jonathan Carl sitting in for him. It opens, you know, I've got it key to the, it's Anthony Fauci with his eyes shut. And for some reason, I keep going to the idea of him, his eyes shut, his eyes closed like this, but with his arms folded across his chest, laying in a box. Is that wrong? Just a fantasy. Here is the mini Mengele, Anthony Fauci, and what you need to think about for the holidays.
You said earlier this week that if you're vaccinated, you should feel comfortable traveling and celebrating the holidays with your family.
Again, if you've got the shot. Now, in Denmark, over 90% of the people who have got this new variant that they're trying to scare you of, they're all vaccinated. But they're supposed to be able to travel with no concerns.
Do you still believe that?
No, I do. If you are vaccinated and boosted and are prudent when you travel, when you're in an airport, to be wearing a mask all the time, you have to be wearing a mask on a plane. Do not do things like go to gatherings where there are people who you do not know what their vaccination status is. If you do that, and some people are even going the extra step or the extra mile, maybe even getting tested when you have people coming over the house. We now have a much wider availability of point of...
I mean, there are going to be Americans that demand a test of their relatives. Their relatives can appear fine, be acting fine, be perfectly healthy, and you are going to have hysterical Americans hiding behind their front door, cracking it just a little bit, you know, keeping the chain on there, and handing out one of these 15-minute rapid tests before you can come into my house. It's unbelievable. It is. I promise you. Meet me if you believe that this is some kind of a prudent action in holiday gatherings, is to test everybody around you to make sure they're not diseased. Then seriously, I'll meet you for a cup of coffee. I'll stroke your hair for a little while and tell you it's going to be okay.
Care test that you can get a result in about 15 minutes. So you might want to do that. If you do these things, John, I do believe that you can feel quite comfortable with a family setting, the dinners and the gatherings that you have around the holiday season. Nothing is 100% risk-free, but I think if you do the things that I just mentioned, you'd actually mitigate that risk enough to feel comfortable about being able to enjoy the holiday.
Yeah, so this is it. And I've got another clip along those lines because, of course, the medical community takes everything Anthony Fauci says and they run with it. I'm telling you, I'm about to play a clip for you, and then I'm going to explain who this guy is. What's his name? His name is Dr. William Schaffner. Yeah, we'll play his clip after this. It's kind of more of the same because, of course, the drippings come from Anthony Fauci's whatever straight into the minds of this guy, Dr. William Schaffner, Thomas Dobbs, whatever Fauci says. I mean, this is where we are as a people. Everybody is to be viewed as a danger. Everybody is to be viewed as an imminent threat. You need to get your relative to prove that they're not deadly pathogens entering your home for Christmas. You can see I'm stumbling. I'm grasping for words at this point. Because as I say, this would be absurd. It would be almost laughable. Because you would think that anybody with any common sense would hear what we're saying. They would hear the South African person on the show say, this thing is nothing. It's a cold. It's a cold. Doesn't matter you're 18 or 80, it's a cold. You would see the statistics that say that 90% of the cases are in the vaccinated in Denmark. 76% of the cases of all strains in Denmark are in the vaccinated. And to hear our health authorities still clinging to this narrative, it is almost absurd. It's just that people are still buying it. One more clip on this one. I will admit I have whiffed on having some COVID logic conversations with a couple of friends recently. One is a doctor, one is just a friend, both kind of on the side of COVID serious, overwhelming our hospitals, that kind of stuff. And I've wanted to just engage them very rationally. I'm not ever mad at anybody. I don't want to fight, but I do just want to ask a ton of questions. And I'll admit to you, I've just whiffed. I should be used to this by now to realize you can't get through. For people that have bought into the fear, they probably tuned out of this radio show in May of 2020. I'm probably not talking to many of those people. I hope occasionally I encounter some that hear some of these clips. All I'm looking for is people to go, wait, what? That doesn't make sense. Or something like, oh, that's weird. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's what changed my perspective on a lot of things and continues to. I get new facts in, I research them, find out it's true, and I go, oh, wow, I hadn't considered that, I didn't know that. But that's very rare that you get from people. And you would think I'd get used to this because when I criticize Trump with a Trump supporter, they don't want to engage in the conversation. They just go, well, you know, they don't want to engage. Climate change, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. If people have decided to throw in their support on one side of an issue or another, they really don't want to talk about it. They don't want to parse through it. They don't want to. I mean, they may teach me something. I'm always ready to be wrong about anything or have something mistaken or have something that I haven't considered. But most people are not like that. Most people, they fall all in love with Donald Trump or all in hate with Donald Trump. And there's just no talking about it. They don't even want to talk about it. Same with COVID. People who are steeped in the fear, I may find some comfort in fear. I don't think I've ever been that way. Now, I do have an emergency alert. I have an emergency alert. Maybe that's hypocritical. I have an emergency alert, but it's not fear for me. It's oh my God, this experiment's about to really go off the rails when we come back next hour. So stick around for that. This is a warning to all parents. But this is this was on CNN. And I'm just going to point out who this guy is. His name is Dr. William Schaffner.
Can we be getting together with our vaccinated loved ones, or do you not recommend that?
Well, Allison, I would recommend that we hang our stockings with care. I think we have to be careful. If we're all going to get together, we should all be vaccinated and preferentially boosted. We should wear our masks if we're uncertain. And another thing we can do is we could all get tested the morning of our getting together. We did that at our house over Thanksgiving because we had a member who had a very serious condition that put them at risk of very severe disease should they get infected. We were all negative. It worked out just fine.
So this guy wants you to go hunt for disease. It's like going out and looking for Easter eggs for Easter. They want you to go and look, try to find this disease. If people show up to your house and they're smiling and they're happy and they're ready to just celebrate the season, stop them in their tracks and really drill it, really look for this disease. See if you can find it.
A little easier said than done, Dr. Schaffner. You know, it's not that easy to get those at-home rapid tests right now still.
You're exactly correct. It's not a panacea, but it is something some people certainly can think about. And I would certainly say if you're going to any group event indoors, whether you're vaccinated or not, please wear your mask. And yes, I join the chorus of everyone saying vaccination, vaccination, vaccination. Yeah. If you haven't gotten your first dose, bring those children in age 5 and older. And if you haven't gotten your booster and you're eligible, run, do not walk, and get vaccinated.
Okay, next pressing.
Now, I'm just going to tell you who this guy is. And I don't have any, you know, I don't know if he's on the Pfizer. I don't know if he's on the grants. This is a doctor. He's got, if you see him, he's got his white medical coat on. He's got the embroidered name right there over his left side there. It's the same thing that you see when you go in for your own medical care. And I don't know if that hits other people like it hits me, but he's a doctor. This is your medical field right now, largely. I'd say about 80% of them. 80% of these men and women with the white lab coats and the embroidered names on there with all their training and their certifications and their big fat salaries, they're either lying to you or they're, I mean, this man is stupid. It's absolutely ridiculous. This is the medical people. These are the people in charge of Americans' health. If you have got a doctor who is trying to get you to search for disease because we've got a new variant out there that is like a cold, if they're the ones telling you that this is going to be, if you're unvaxxed, a winter of severe disease and death, like Biden says, and this is kind of taken up like a theme. Run, don't walk away from this doctor. Now, I don't know you're going to find one in central Mississippi that is not bought into this mass formation hysteria. But these white lab coats, I mean, I've never seen anything so ridiculous and so mystifying in my life. I mean, it's bad enough they bought into the cholesterol myth. There's a million things I've covered for 5 years here that the medical establishment has gotten wrong. But I've never seen anything like this. This should totally destroy the credibility of about 80%.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You can reach me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. If you've got anything interesting, I appreciate it. I talked to somebody this during the break, sent me an interesting study I'll take a look at tonight. So if you've got any factually based things that counter this narrative, I'll take them. Look, I we're all familiar here, from the owner to the janitor, who happens to also be the owner most times. We're all really aware of what CBS News is. I mean, I get off the air after giving you all of these statistics and listening to the South African health minister and seeing what the stats are out of Denmark, and then we hear the CBS News break come on and say, the unvaccinated are filling up the hospitals. The idea that the United States is experiencing something 180 degrees from every other westernized country around the world that's reporting real numbers. And I have, this is one thing I have not whiffed on. I've asked people who have had the shot and believe in the shot how that's possible. They have no answer. I've asked doctors, how is it possible that we're having a completely different outcome here with this vaccination program here than they had in Israel, than they had in Denmark, than they had in Germany, that they had in Great Britain, that they had in Australia? How is it possible we're having a completely different outcome, and in those places they are showing that the vaccinated are filling hospitals, and here it's 99% are unvaxxed? It may be something as simple as semantics. We've just parsed our definition of who's vaxxed. People who got two shots that are in the hospital right now but have not gotten the booster, are they considered unvaccinated? I would imagine they might be. They've said publicly they're redefining the definition of fully vaccinated. And so it may be they're using semantics to change the statistics. Other countries aren't doing that. Or it may just be flat-out lies. I suspect some of both. But we're actively searching for something better than CBS News. But the funny thing is, I mean, at the very least, you've got one radio station that will pretty much come on here and take on the news. And I don't know if you'd call it debunking it or just challenge it after basically every single news break on this station. So I think that maybe it's a service. You get both sides of the story. You can decide where you fall. There was something truly, I believe, horrific that came out this weekend. I'm going to play you a clip about it. This, I believe, is an emergency alert for parents out there, grandparents out there. Grandparents, you may need to intervene. You may need to do it. You may need to risk an uncomfortable moment with your kids if they have bought into this hysteria, particularly when it comes to our children. You have a responsibility for the health and welfare of your grandchildren, just like parents do. I'm not saying you can overrule them, but you may need to find some loving way to intervene on behalf of our grandparents. I don't want to be like Fox News or Sean Hannity, where everything is an emergency alert. See, I don't use that very often, but I believe this qualifies. Right now, Pfizer is experimenting on toddlers. And I don't know if you've followed the news, what came out this weekend when it comes to toddlers, but I'll play you this clip. And I think this is one of the more tragic things I've heard.
Today, a new setback for families with kids 5 and under. Pfizer reporting some disappointing data from a trial that could delay the shot even further.
Okay, so far, good news. Anything that delays the inoculation of our 2-year-olds, our 6-month-olds, that would be seemingly good news, but I fear that this delay is not very long. Listen to what's happened in this Pfizer trial.
CBS's Meg Terrell covers medicine for us and science. Meg, what happened here?
Yeah, Shep, Pfizer's been testing much lower doses of its vaccines for kids under 5, 2 doses of 3 micrograms each, compared with 10 micrograms for kids 5 to 11 and 30 for those 12.
Now, I ask you, just in the name of science, and maybe there's a scientist out there that can explain this to me. If you are 4 years and 11 months old, how biologically different are you from somebody who is 5 years and 2 days old? In about 2 months of growth. Now, granted, children do grow at a rapid... Well, let's just take it to a different level. You're 4 years, 11 months, and 20 days old. Or you're 5 years old and 6 days older. So the difference of about 16 days of life. That person that is 16 days older to these protocols is going to receive triple the dose of somebody who is 16 days younger. Understanding my point being these age things are just completely arbitrary. That sticks out to me. I mean, if it's good enough, if this 3 times the dose is okay for someone who's 5 years old in 2 days, why not just give it to somebody who's 4 years old in 11 months? I mean, it's only the difference of a month. It's 30 days, 32 days. I mean, this is so absurd, but they're experimenting on our toddlers, and listen to what the result is going to be.
Older and adults. But the company disclosed today that that doesn't appear to be enough for kids ages 2 to 4. The immune response they saw with 2 doses didn't stack up with the comparison group of teens and young adults. While they did see strong results in even younger ages, 6 to 24 months, Pfizer's now adding a 3rd dose to the series to see if that can provide high levels of protection across the board. The 3rd dose will be given at least 2 months after the 2nd. Pfizer says if the 3-dose study is successful, it plans to ask the FDA for clearance in the first half of 2022. That's a delay of a couple months from what many in the public health world and parents were hoping for. The company is also testing 3rd doses in all other age groups up through 17, suggesting the additional dose will provide stronger protection against variants including Omicron. Perhaps the first steps to making this a 3-dose vaccine across the board.
And there you have it. It's the bottom-up approach. You experiment on our toddlers, get them taking 3 shots, and then it's easy to say, what do you can go to an adult and you go, oh, what are you wimping out for? We gave your 3-year-old 3 shots. You should have 3 shots, too. So they didn't get the antibody response they wanted out of our toddlers, so they're just going to throw in another dose on top of it. This will be studied for, at the most, a few months by the time they roll this thing out. And it's going to come for your daycares, for your kindergartens, for your schools, because most people are just sitting on their can doing nothing, not letting anybody know that you will not participate in this. The rise of homeschooling is going to go through the roof when these shots become mandatory, and I believe they will, unless there's significant pushback before this. But they are now at 3 shots for our toddlers. They have no long-term studies on this. No idea what this does long-term, implications long-term for your immune system. No ideas of what this does to a body that's just barely developing its reproductive organs. No idea whatsoever. And this is all about fighting all these variants. They think this 3rd dose will really fight off these variants. These are the same shots that I just reported to you in Denmark that's taking these same shots, these Pfizer shots. 90% of their cases are in the vaxxed. 90% of Denmark cases of the Omicron are in the vaccinated. And they are testing this same shot on our kids who have been immune to this thing up until now. I believe that what they will set up is a system where all of our kids start getting shots, these diseases and the poor outcomes from whatever the variant of the day is will continue to get worse and worse in the younger and younger populations. And when nobody will pay attention to the fact that the kids weren't really having poor outcomes from these things before you started giving them the shots. They're talking about how Omicron is affecting younger people more. They're not mentioning the fact that younger people were not affected by COVID, the Alpha strain, even the Delta strain, until you started inoculating them. And now suddenly this disease is trending younger and younger. Coincidence? Maybe. I don't know what the mechanism is that makes it attack younger people now than it used to. But it even gets worse than that. I mean, I've got other stories about this. One school district has made a new hire, a new medical staff hire. And I ask you, I'll open up the phone lines if you want me to, if somebody wants to explain to me how this is normal or what this says when you hear about this new hire to a school district. I think it was in Texas. I'll pull up the story. We'll get to that next. Stay with me. I spent some time a couple of weeks ago reading off the list of particularly European soccer stars, some basketball. There was a free diver, a competitive mountain bicycle people, all these people that have been suddenly having heart problems. Two more this weekend I saw videos of that I think were current. Play was stopped in a couple of games for soccer players, and I believe they were both European leagues, clutching their chest just in the middle of a play. Not a traumatic injury. They didn't run into each other. It's just somebody that's dribbling or going for a ball, and suddenly they stop, they double over, they grab their heart, they lay on the ground. I can't read that list anymore because I only have a two-hour show. The list is growing longer and longer and longer. People are keeping these things updated. The news is right now that it's five times. Athletes have always died of sudden cardiac arrest. I talked about it before. I had a 20-year-old friend in college, went out to play flag football, never came back, had a heart problem. This is long before we heard COVID or anything about the shots. It does happen, but the reporting right now that I've seen is it's five times as many athletes are having these sudden heart problems. In Great Britain, one soccer star would like, I don't know, an investigation? Maybe we could look into this?
It's been very concerning for me, Dan. I'm watching a sport that I love and I played for 17 years. And it's been very concerning to me that in all that time that I played, I never once saw any footballer leave the pitch because of heart issues. Now, I'm sorry, but if anybody can look at what's happening now in the world of sport and say it's normal for all of these people to be having heart issues in football matches, cricket matches, basketball matches, any sport you wish, these people, the amount of people that are suffering is going through the roof. And I called for an investigation because it might not be to do with the vaccines.
Yeah.
It may not be. But let's have an investigation to find out what it is. And even saying that deems you to be some kind of anti-vaxxer, which is just absolutely disgusting. I want just some information. I want people to take a look at what is happening in football, have a proper investigation, and give us some answers as to why so many sports people are suffering with heart issues. It's not difficult.
Yeah, it's not difficult, except it's not going to happen. Because the only people that would investigate that would be doctors, and doctors are all in the take, the vast majority of them. So some independent doctors might get in there and do a research study on this thing. We don't even know that all of these people that have collapsed on the field have been vaccinated, but he's right. Maybe we should try to figure out what the cause is. If it's five times the number it was last season, it seems to me that a vaccine is certainly a possibility. It's the thing that's changed, right? It's the one kind of universal thing that's changed, particularly when it comes to professional athletics that have rushed into these shots. But a few independent people will probably do this study. They'll find, you know, the percentage of them who've gotten their shots, maybe how long ago they got their shots, which shots they got, and then they'll be censored. They'll be taken off of Twitter. They'll be ridiculed. They won't study that. Instead, they're going to take a different tact. This wasn't, I think I said Texas by accident. I meant to say New York. You know, Texas and New York, big states. Eastport South Manor Central School District, ESM, in Suffolk County, New York, sent out an email to all parents informing them about the new physician in their district. I thought I'd read this announcement to you and see what you think about this. You'll be watching for these announcements here in Mississippi. Dear ESM community, the district is very pleased to introduce our new district doctor, Melina Kajawa. Kawaja, probably. Dr. Kawaja is an emergency medicine board certified physician with over 10 years experience as an attending at University Hospital at Stony Brook, treating patients, teaching, and supervising medical students and residents. Currently, Dr. Kawaja is the owner and operator of an independent urgent care centers in West Babylon and Manorville, New York. Dr. Kawaja has already spent a great deal of time working with our school nurses to improve our system's practices and to implement all new required regulations. Want to know what those new regulations are? These are for the kids in this New York school district. This is the letter from the school district to the parents. One such effort has to do with new regulations regarding sudden cardiac arrest. All districts are now required to ensure that nurses and coaches can address the treatment and monitoring of students who exhibit signs and symptoms of sudden cardiac arrest. In addition, districts are required to make sure that all staff are aware of the warning signs of sudden cardiac arrest and what to do if a person experiences sudden cardiac arrest. Please see the attached information on sudden cardiac arrest. And I'm going to read this to you, too, because I'm wondering what's on this health survey. The attached health survey is necessary for our medical staff to complete student physicals to ensure that our medical staff have the necessary cardiac health information for all our students. We ask that you please complete the attached student health survey and send it to your child's school nurse. Even if your child has already had their annual physical and you have provided the school with that information, please complete the first section of the attached form to provide the school nurse with the additional student health history regarding sudden cardiac arrest. I wonder what is in that first part of that form, even if your child has already had a physical. I wonder if they ask you, has your child accepted the jab into their life? Because those are the ones that these school nurses, coaches, know to keep an especially careful eye on. They won't say this, but now suddenly new regulations are out. This school district in New York, and you can rest assured this will not be the only school district. This is a new regulation. This will be rolled out around the country, particularly if we start seeing these sudden cardiac arrest events. I've played the clips and told you there was a banner on the side of a bus. Kids have strokes too. This is on the heels of the news that they're experimenting on our toddlers right now. Now, if anybody has an alternative idea of why that they are starting to suddenly study sudden cardiac arrest in the students in our K through 12 schools, then please feel free to share it with me. It seems a little odd timing. The kids have been going to school for quite some time. I went to school for 12 years. Many of you probably did too. 17 if you include my five-year career in college. 17 years. And I did have one friend, sudden cardiac arrest or whatever he had when he was playing flag football. That was one. I certainly never saw anything K through 12. Don't think anybody ever even complained of heartburn back then. Of course, we were eating real food back then, but this is incredibly concerning that now they are rolling out and making it a joke. Great news. We're suddenly going to start paying attention to your students' hearts. And again, if you've got an alternative explanation of why this is happening right now, please feel free. You can give me a call, 601-879-0002, or email me the reason that suddenly kids have strokes too is now a new advertising slogan.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. There's so much swirling around all of the headlines on this ridiculous Omicron. The stock market, ouch. Market's down almost 2%. 2% on the Dow. S&P down 1.86%. It's actually 1.8687% on both. So the stock market's having a tough day. I'll show you what has been created. Here's the headline of a formerly free market economy, what the United States has devolved into. From free markets to a Soviet-style, controlled, centrally planned economy. I've been warning you about this ever since I saw this stuff taking place, particularly, I mean, I've been talking about it for 5 years, but particularly in response to COVID. Here's the headlines. Goldman Sachs cuts U.S. economic growth forecast after Joe Manchin says no on Biden's Build Back Better bill. I know most people will read that and they kind of gloss over that. But do you understand that U.S. economic growth is now just completely tied to government spending? It has nothing to do with innovation or quality of products or services or what we manufacture, what we're building, what we're doing. It has everything to do with whether or not the government is going to spend a couple of trillion dollars to actually grow the economy. And it's using phony money printed up out of nothing from the Federal Reserve to do it. I mean, this is quite the experiment. It has been tried before. Not here in the United States to this degree, but it's never worked in human history. It didn't work out for the Roman Empire. It's not going to work out for the U.S. Empire. But Goldman Sachs has to cut its economic growth forecast for the U.S. because Joe Manchin won't let him spend $2 trillion on this harebrained Build Back Better bill. The stock market doesn't like it a bit. They were really wanting those government dollars sloshing around. The elites and the Wall Streeters love that Fed spending, and they're worried about that. So the market's taking it on the chin. Speaking of finance, Jim Cramer, he just keeps digging in deeper. Jim Cramer, who we've shown last couple of weeks, started really picking on him. I love it when people that are just absolute hacks and propagandists and globalists and all that good stuff, I love it when they show themselves because it's kind of in my wheelhouse, so I enjoy talking about him. Jim Cramer is just one of the worst. I gave you his list of must-buy stocks back in 2000. Most of them went to zero. I think the best performing one he had on his list for the New World or something like that in 2000, the best of them lost only 74%. Most of them went to zero. But he still had a career ever since then, even after those disastrous picks for his fans. Then he came out recently and said he thinks the military should roll up on you, force you to the ground, shove a needle in your arm. That's paraphrasing. He basically said he thinks the military should get involved in a mandatory vaccination program. He then came out, I guess after getting his call from the White House, who was doing their little exercise, and hey, quit beating up on Joe Biden. Let us tell you about all the good things about the economy. They actually met with journalists and anchors and heads of media organizations to get the propaganda out that the economy is doing great. And of course, Jim Cramer, like a good little globalist soldier, came right out and told you, this may be the best economy I've ever seen. He actually said that the other day. And now he's done it again. Jim Cramer says this, sends out a tweet. Government has a right to force you to obey and has always exercised it, especially under GOP. Jim Cramer. I don't know what in response this was or if he just decided he wanted to come out and tell you that you're a slave, but he says government has a right to force you to obey and always has exercised it, especially under GOP. Now, I'm not going to argue with him on the GOP stuff. GOP makes government your boss, too. And they just do it while saying things like free markets, capitalism, small limited government. They lie to you straight to your face. And that's why so many people who actually want to be left alone have been tricked into becoming Republicans. I was tricked. They tricked me. They're still getting a lot of people. But so Jim Cramer says the government has a right to force you to obey. But some of the responses were great. And I'm going to read you one from the Libertarian Party of Nevada. This is what libertarians believe. And so this was a great response to Jim Cramer saying the government has a right to make you obey. They said Libertarian Party of Nevada said governments do not have rights. Only individuals have rights.
Rights emerge from properties inherent to our existence. Their sources are humanity, and they are fundamental to the nature of our being. Rights cannot be granted by government because they pre-exist all governments. And that is actually the basis of this country, is that your rights are God-given. The government has no rights. Jim Cramer says they have a right. They have a right to force you to obey. Now, Lauren Chen responded to him, said, "You came out as a fascist a while ago, but I guess this is a more blatant way of admitting it." Someone else responded to Jim Cramer, said, "My grandparents were sent to work in extermination camps, Jimbo. It was legal. The government had a, quote, right to force them to obey. They stole their guns first. All it took was little blanks like you gladly opening the cattle car doors for them and doing their dirty work." It was not well received online. Jim Cramer hopefully is just absolutely destroying his career. His bad stock picks didn't do it, but maybe this will do it. Trigger alert here, though, because I want to get to this story, because this is maddening to me as well. And again, I'm not going to make any fans, but I'm not near as concerned with popularity or idolatry as I probably should be for my ratings. But the headline came out. I guess Trump went on Maria Bartiromo's show. The headline on the Washington Times is, "Trump demands China pay $60 trillion in reparations for the coronavirus pandemic." Former President Donald Trump said Sunday that China should pay reparations for its role in the COVID-19 pandemic. Quote, I wish I could do a Trump voice. I can't believe I spent 4 years and never developed a Trump voice. But anyway, to quote, this is Trump. China has to pay. They have to do something. They have to pay reparations, and China doesn't have the money to pay those reparations. The former president argued that if the worldwide damage of the coronavirus was properly estimated, China would likely owe upwards of $60 trillion. Quote, I believe that worldwide, I'm not just talking about the United States, but worldwide, it's $60 trillion of damage. China doesn't have $60 trillion, but they have to do something to make up for what they've done. Last quote here, this is Donald Trump talking to Maria Bartiromo. I could not find a clip of this anywhere, but he said, what they've done to the world is so horrible. It's been horrible all over the world, and it doesn't stop. Now, there's probably a lot of people really agree with this. Yeah, we need to get Trump. I mean, we need to get China for that $60 trillion. Look what they did. I don't know, from what I see. COVID didn't cause any of this damage that he's talking about, this economic damage. Oh, any disease, the flu causes economic damage. Diabetes causes a great deal of lost productivity and health care costs every single year, and has for decades, particularly the last decade. Cancer has an economic cost. I mean, every disease has an economic cost to it, but the COVID, nowhere near $60 trillion. It was actually Trump's emergency order that kicked open the door for all of the state emergency orders and all of the policies that fired. It was actually Donald Trump's employee, Anthony Fauci, who he kept around till the last day and still continues to call a nice guy. They just disagree. It was Trump's head of the NIH, this Francis, what was his name? Francis Collins. It was Trump's employees that actually caused the $60 trillion in damage, or at least that portion of it that's attributed to the United States. It was Trump's inactivity, inability to fight off these fearmongers and hysterics that were within his own administration that kicked this off. Now, I know he came out and said, we got to get back open. So I know that's supposed to absolve him of everything. But COVID didn't cause $60 trillion worth of damage. Bureaucrats did. Bureaucrats and health hysterics caused $60 trillion in damage. Am I a big fan of the Chinese? No. Did we pay reparations for the 1918 flu? That came out of Kansas, apparently. That's the way it was reported. I wonder if we should retroactively, I mean, with interest, we could owe a pretty hefty amount. But now we're, and forget the fact that Anthony Fauci, who Trump kept in as the director of this NAISD or whatever they're called, National Infectious Disease Group, Anthony Fauci was actually funding this research in China. Maybe this bug never would have even existed had it not been for the generosity of the U.S. taxpayer that was funding gain-of-function stuff. We just happened to outsource it to China because we weren't supposed to be doing it here. So there's plenty of blame to go around. But again, I say the pandemic has caused almost no economic damage, no more than a flu would have or cancer does or diabetes does or heart disease does. Every disease carries an economic cost to it, but COVID would have been no different. It is the policies that emanated originally from Donald Trump's emergency declaration around this that he never did rescind. The economic devastation of the extra unemployment benefits that were both a creature of Congress and Donald Trump signed an executive order giving $300 extra per week to the unemployed to gloss over the problems with lockdowns and with forced closures of businesses and these kinds of things. So I gave you a trigger alert, but we'll see. Click. Click, 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 click. I was with him when he was talking about the heart attacks in the kids. You lost me when he started criticizing Donald Trump. Donald Trump is responsible for all of this economic damage as anybody in China. We'll be right back. Final segment for the day. That's probably a good thing. I left my Trump criticism to the end so that I got the people through most of the show. Caller during the break made a good point, too. The $60 trillion that Trump thinks China should pony up for the damage to the world economy. Again, if you didn't hear it, if it wasn't clear, China, coronavirus, the only people who damage the world economy are the leaders of each country that shut their economies down, shut down production lines, forced people out of their jobs, force kids out of schools to make parents stay home. These are the costs. They were all incurred by the bureaucrats, many of them hired and retained by Donald Trump. The caller mentioned, you know, what? We don't want to say our government gets $60 trillion. They've already doing bad things with every dollar that's sent to Washington, D.C. The last thing they need is more money. It ain't coming out to the people, and even if it does, it's even more of a disaster as we see what's happened to our labor markets now. And this is not to mention, as long as I'm going to dump a bunch of this stuff on Donald Trump, because I am mystified how people can look at the state of the country in 2020, leaving 2020 at the end of Trump's first term, and just say, well, none of that was his fault. We were the least free we've ever been in the history of the United States as Trump left office. Our economy had never been broken purposefully the way it was broken in 2020. And either Trump, he didn't do a very good job resisting it. If I'm supposed to give him a pass because of a couple of speeches he made where he says, oh, Anthony Fauci's a super nice guy and we get along, but we just disagree on a few things. You can look these quotes up. This is what he said about Anthony Fauci, the mini Mengele. And he kept him around. But I'm supposed to give Trump a pass? I'm supposed to look at it and go, oh, yeah, well, he was a great president for 3 years. That last fourth year, none of that was his fault. He tried. He really tried. Well, I mean, if that's the result we had when we inaugurated the cretin that's in office right now, if the result that we had at the end of Donald Trump's first term is him trying, if that's the best he could come up with, him really, really trying, really putting his heart and soul into it, and that's what we ended up with, then he should be completely disqualified from any further runs for office. I am ticking off 67% of people right now. I know it. But I beg you, just take a look at this objectively. Get out of your head. I know I threw in with Trump too, but it changed. His actions were not consistent with his words, but all of this economic damage that he's talking about China needs to pony up $60 trillion for, that does not include, to me, what could be stunning economic damage done by Operation Warp Speed. 20,000 people that we know of in the VAERS system have lost their lives. Tens of thousands of people permanently disabled. Americans, formerly productive American citizens, are now permanently disabled from Operation Warp Speed. Not to mention the economic damage of the people who have been fired for their jobs for not participating in the experiment known as Operation Warp Speed, which up to and including today, Donald Trump takes great credit for. The economic damage was not done to us by China. It was done by our own bureaucrats, and many of them in the Trump administration. And Trump is still out there pushing this shot as it rolls out on our toddlers. I'm supposed to look the other way on that? Oh, I disagree with Donald Trump on that issue. What do you mean, that issue? The experimentation on our children? Just that little issue. Yeah, I know. I know, Mike. Tens of thousands of Americans have been killed by this thing. Hundreds of thousands of people have had adverse reactions, many of them permanently disabled. I agree. I disagree with Donald Trump on that mass casualty event. But outside of that, hell, there's a headline today. It says Biden gets 40 judges confirmed in first year, double Trump's number. That was one of the things I'd actually given Trump credit for during his term. Now, I'll be honest. I didn't read this story, and it's maybe just slanted. I don't know. I think Trump did do a good job of getting some conservative people into places. That may be why we've seen some of these mandates rolled back. So if that's part of Trump's legacy, I give him all the credit in the world for that. He turned to the Federalist Society, kind of outsourced that to the people who know constitutionality to get them to give him a list of judges, and he put them up. Great idea. That's what we expected from a businessman. Go find qualified people, implement their ideas. That's what he did. Great job, Donald Trump, on that. But turns out Biden's moving at twice the pace. But I just, for the life of me, cannot figure it out. And again, it's like I said, I've whiffed on some conversations I've wanted to have with people who've bought into this vaccination program. I just want to ask them questions. I want to ask facts. But people who have accepted the fear, who have accepted the hysteria, who have accepted the vaccine into their life, they really don't want to talk about it. And I guess that's human nature. I don't know. I'm always searching myself to figure out, do I have these blind spots in my life? Is there anything that I won't discuss? Is there anything where other information comes in I won't entertain? And I don't know. I'm sure it's there somewhere. I really would believe. I'm certainly not perfect. But when it comes to being open-minded, I think I'm wildly open-minded to being wrong about things or to questioning anything that I've believe, because I've been tricked before. You know, that's the thing too, is I don't know why people will refuse to admit that they may have gotten duped at some point of something. Anyway, we've got a caller in line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, everybody pretty much knows the first and second shot didn't work. Do I have to take those, or can I just take the third one and
yeah.
be?
Maybe if you just wait for the fifth one, then you'll actually avoid four. Yeah, we don't know, because we're multiplying by zero. And it takes a whole lot to get up to a positive number when you're multiplying by zero. So if the first two gave you zero protection and the third is showing that it gives you zero protection, they're just going to keep multiplying by zero until it comes to a positive number. So that makes them indefinite.
That's what I was saying. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, the vaccine failure is really the headline of all of this stuff that I've covered today. The numbers from Denmark, the numbers from South Africa, numbers from Germany are bearing this out. The numbers from the UK are bearing this out. This is a story, a lifetime example of vaccine failure, which means that you're getting no protection from this thing, and they are multiplying by zero. Now, as that clip said earlier in the show, I should play it again. Three is the new two. Four will be the new three. Five will be the, you know what I'm saying. Now our kids are, the toddlers they're experimenting on, they've said two shots weren't enough to get the reaction that they wanted, so they're going to give them a third. Can you even imagine? I'm trying to put myself in the headspace of a parent who would take their precious new 8-month-old baby and go, you know what? You know what would be really cool? I can only imagine they think they're doing something for humanity. I'm going to try to ascribe the best motives to somebody, but somebody that would hand over, I mean, quite literally, you can just imagine a baby in their little jumper, and you hand them to this nurse in this trial and say, here you go. Give them a couple of these shots. Let's see what happens. I guess they think they're saving the world. There have been people. I don't want to impugn motives. I think that's I think that's ignorance, number one, but it borders on stupidity. There's a line between those two, but it certainly is crossing over. Can you even imagine handing over your 8-month-old, your 6-month-old, your 1.5-year-old, your 3-year-old to a mass medical experiment? Even knowing that it paves the way for more children to be experimented on, should this thing actually, air quotes here in the studio, succeed? Holy crap. This is truly terrifying, and I almost want to fast forward 20 years and find out that it turned out okay, because I'm extremely worried that it's not. And I believe when you are seeing the number of people, when South Africa is telling you, who is not very vaccinated, I think 26%, when they're showing you that they've got mild cases of this Omicron there, not many people hospitalized with it, not people getting severe disease, but in the more heavily vaccinated countries, they're having more hospitalizations. Hospital spikes, hospitals are filling. That seems like the absolute case for this antibody-dependent enhancement, that the more vaccinations you have, the more severe disease you have. I'll need to find it maybe for tomorrow. And the CDC director actually warned us of this back during the Israeli outbreak. She actually said those words, it increases your risk of severe disease, yet they are still selling this thing. Unbelievable stuff, hard to watch. We'll talk about it again tomorrow. See you then.
No matter Bye-bye. How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how